after that, we see some actual events that take place with the taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. And then after the events that we read about, then comes Lamentations, then Ezekiel, and you've all heard of Daniel. Because Daniel are some of the, and his three friends are some of the ones that were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And that leads us into that story. And then some final prophecies. And then, of course, Ezra and Nehemiah took place after that. That's when they were allowed to go back after the 70 years and rebuild the temple and then the wall. And then the final book of Malachi came after that. So just to kind of give you a feel. But these four chapters, 30 to 33, are in here just prior to the actual captivity. God giving them some final prophecies about the future, primarily their coming kingdom. And then the event actually takes place and gets recorded in the book of Jeremiah. So here in chapter 30, God is, again, telling them what's coming in the future. And we'll start in verse 4, where it says, "And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord God, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Therefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." So tonight we'll talk about Jacob's trouble. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts to teach us tonight and grow us. Thank you for it. We just want to please you and honor you, and pray that now your word would truly make a difference in each of our hearts. We thank you for the privilege to be here. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So God here has laid out the chronology for us. First comes the time of Jacob's trouble, and then comes Israel getting saved out of it, which, of course, takes them into the kingdom. So notice he says there in verse 7, that day is great. That day. Now, we've seen this before as we studied prophecy, but the day is not referring to a literal 24-hour day, but it's referring to what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord begins right after the rapture and goes right on through the tribulation, right on into the kingdom. That is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord begins, this day, begins with trouble. It is part of God's punishment of Israel. If you look down in verse 11, God says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee." Notice it says, "Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee." Now look at the end here. "But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So the time of Jacob's trouble is a time of punishment for Israel's disobedience to God's commandments. But this is a description of that period of time, primarily referring to the tribulation period, and it reveals to us that dispensationally it is a Jewish dispensation, because it's the time of Jacob's trouble. So it's Israel's trouble. Even though the whole world will be troubled, the whole world will suffer through it, its purpose, as we see here, is God's punishment and chastisement of his children, the nation of Israel. But I'd like us just to capture real quick some of the words that God uses to describe this time of Jacob's trouble, so we can catch again that glimpse of what it's about. Isaiah 13, we'll just do them in scriptural order, and it will show you that you don't want to go there. And the way to avoid it is to be saved. Amen? Because if you're saved, you'll be taken out, just like Enoch was. Prior to the judgment, you will be taken out through the rapture before this day begins, this time of Jacob's trouble. But I want us to capture some words. So we've already seen that it's a troublesome time. Look at Isaiah 13:9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger." So not only is it a time of trouble, but it's a time of wrath and anger. Now let's go to Amos chapter 5. And I've just selected a couple of samples, but ones that give us some descriptive words of this time of trouble. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." So now we've seen it's a time of trouble, wrath, anger, and darkness. These are God's descriptive words of this coming time of chastisement, which is still in the future for us. And then Joel is next. So Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Maybe Joel is back the other way. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Yeah, it is. Sorry, I put them in wrong order. So right after Hosea is Joel, chapter 2, or after chapter 1, verse 15. "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." So now we've seen its trouble, anger, wrath, darkness, and destruction. And then chapter 2 of Joel, verse 11, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" So these are some Old Testament words that describe this time of Jacob's trouble, wrath, anger, darkness, destruction, and terrible. And then go to Matthew 24. Jesus' word for this time is the word tribulation. And that is where we get our description of it, because that's what Jesus called it. Notice Matthew chapter 24, down in verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as would not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So this is Jesus explaining to us that this 7-year time on earth will be the worst time in the history of mankind. And as we study it in the book of Revelation, we find that to be true, don't we? We see all these plagues, all these creatures coming out of hell, all these people getting killed. By the time it's all over, more than 2/3 of the earth is killed. So it is a time of Jacob's trouble. It's primarily dispensationally God punishing, chastising his children. But those who don't escape it through the rapture also have to suffer through it. And that is, when the Antichrist reigns and so forth. So God is laying out their calendar for them. They didn't know when it would come, and they still don't. And neither do we, because it could be another 1,000 years. We don't know. But we know that when it does come, it will be a terrible time. So what happens after that? Go back to our passage, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. So first comes the time of Jacob's trouble. But notice he says at the end there, verse 7, "But he shall be saved out of it." Now, when God makes these sort of statements, he's talking about the nation as if it's a person. Because the nation obviously always changes. People are dying. People are being born. I'm talking Jewish people. Many Jews will die in the tribulation period. But he's looking at Israel as a unit, as like a person. And he's saying some Jews will be saved out of the tribulation period. Some Jews will survive the tribulation period and go on into the kingdom. And those that do, of course, will get to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. So go to Jeremiah 23, where we looked just a couple weeks ago, where God talks about this rescuing. Verse 6, it says, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he should be called, the Lord our righteousness." So he's saying that some of Israel, a remnant of Israel, will be saved out of the tribulation period and be allowed to go into the kingdom. Those that had gotten saved before and had died, they will, of course, be joining them along with us. Because when Jesus comes back to set up this kingdom, the Bible says we come back with him and we get to be there too. So then he goes on here, back here in our passage, Jeremiah 32, give us some descriptions of what comes after Jacob's trouble. What is Israel saved into? A blessed time. Praise the Lord. Look down at verse 9. It says, they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, who I will raise up unto them. So now they're getting a picture. Not only are they going to be, some of them, saved out of the time of Jacob's trouble, but they will see Jesus Christ come back and sit on the throne of David, which God had promised way back in the Old Testament. Remember, Isaiah 9:6 talks about Jesus, unto us a son is born, his son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and so forth. But the next verse says, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it. So Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David during the kingdom. If you go to Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel also gave some prophecies about this time during the captivity. So look at Ezekiel 34:23, and notice he says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Is he talking about the literal David? Not sure. But we know that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign during this time. So they're going to have their time of trouble, a terrible time of wrath, anger, darkness, destruction, tribulation, and they'll be saved out of it as a nation. They will serve the Lord, as we read here. David will be their king. Down in verse 10 of our passage, it says, therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar. So he's reminding us that Israel has been scattered. And that has been true for a very long time, since this captivity, which is just about to happen chronologically in Jeremiah. Israel's been scattered, but God says, I'm going to bring them back together. He says, I'm going to save thee from afar. And if you look at Isaiah 10 and verse 21, sure enough, God describes them as a remnant, which is really what they are, isn't it? It's just a little sliver of all of the Jews from the time of Abraham until the end of the tribulation, a little remnant will survive and go into the tribulation period. Notice Isaiah 10:21. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. So a remnant, as he says, will be saved from afar. They'll be brought back together. They'll get their land. They'll get the promised kingdom. And then notice back in our passage, verse 10, and they shall be in rest and be quiet. So now we're getting a glimpse of what after Jacob's trouble will be like. It'll be the opposite. Instead of wrath and anger and destruction and tribulation, it's rest and quiet. It's a wonderful time because Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning. And the Bible teaches that it will be a amazing time. On down to verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee and will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, who no man seeketh after. So the Bible says it will be a time of rest, of quiet, of health. Go to Isaiah 65, which is one of the kingdom passages. And, you know, we could look through the whole passage, but just talking about the health part, down to verse 20 of Isaiah 65, it says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. It says, but the sinner being 100 years old should be accursed. So it's saying if somebody dies at 100, they're young. This is what it will be like in the kingdom. And that's because it will be a time of health. The sickness will be removed. The curse is gone. Imagine what that will be like. And the Bible says the best you can imagine will be better than that. Amen? But we get to be there. We get to be part of it. So on down in our passage, Jeremiah 30, verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. So it's a time of peace and rest and quiet and health. But it's also a time where he says Israel will be multiplied again. Even though just a remnant escapes the tribulation, they will multiply very quickly, the ones who survive, and be given their land and become a great nation again. We'll be there as well, but we're not part of Israel. We'll be there, though, and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in other parts of the world. But Israel will have their land. And notice, if you would, chapter 33, just over a couple chapters, which will be there soon. Look at verse 22. It says, "As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me." So after at least 2,500 years from the captivity, could be more, even though we look and say there really aren't that many Jews, and a lot of them will die in the tribulation, the time of trouble, God says during the kingdom, they'll become innumerable again. Imagine that. These are the Jews, the nation of Israel. And it will be a time, notice Isaiah 65 again, this time verse 18, it will be a time of joy, as we read here, a time of health, a time of quiet, a time of rest. Notice Isaiah 65, 18, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." Pretty much the opposite of today's Jerusalem, isn't it? A rejoicing and a joy. And then look down on our passage, verse 22. This is really the key of the whole thing, is God's going to give them a new heart. He says, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." He's talking to Israel. Now, this happens after their correction. As he talks in verse 11, "I'm going to correct you. I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to punish you. But afterward, you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now, this is called the New Covenant, which, by the way, is in the next chapter. We'll look at that next week. Of all the places that the fourth unconditional covenant of Scripture, of Old Testament Scripture, could take place, it happens in Jeremiah chapter 31. Remember, there were four unconditional covenants. There was the Abrahamic, Genesis 12. There was the Davidic of 2 Samuel chapter 7. I skipped over the Palestinian in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And the fourth one is called the New Covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31. So let's just look at a glimpse of it, verse 33. But we'll look at it in more detail in the coming weeks. This covenant is a promise, that's another word for covenant, that God has made to Israel that has not yet occurred. It's unconditional in that it will happen independent of their behavior. Now, there were some promises God made to Israel that were conditional, i.e. getting all their land initially. They had to obey, and they had to fight the nations, which they didn't do, so they didn't get the land. This covenant, God says, is independent of their behavior. This will happen and has yet to happen. Notice verse 33, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." And then God requotes this very verse in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. About this new covenant that God will make with Israel. So God is giving them some prophecies about the future as a nation, as they're about to face this immediate short-term chastisement of being 70 years in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and his son, and I think his son's son as well. And then you'll see when the king of Persia decides to let them go back. And that's under Ezra and Nehemiah. And they go back and they rebuild the temple. They rebuild the wall. But that sets off the calendar for Jesus that Daniel talks about. But he's saying in the future, Israel, because you've continually disobeyed, the first thing on the eschatological calendar, how's that for a big word? Just means prophecy, is the time of Jacob's trouble. Not a good thing to be looking forward to. How can we avoid it? How can they avoid it? Get saved. Those who are not saved will have to suffer through it as well. But after it comes, as he says, they'll be saved out of it as a nation. And then comes this time of peace and quiet and joy. And Israel being multiplied. And God giving them, as a nation, a new heart. And then, again, or finally, being allowed to possess all of the promised land that they were promised way, way back. They still haven't possessed it. and they won't until Jesus sits on the throne of David, then he will give them their land. So this time of Jacob's trouble is next in our calendar as well. But during that time, we'll be up there. Amen? Because what kicks it off is the rapture. So it's interesting how God's laying all this out for them just prior to Nebuchadnezzar coming in and raising Jerusalem to the ground. Jacob's trouble, then the kingdom of peace.